Grace and peace to you all, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are glad to have all of you worshiping with us this morning. A special welcome to visitors and guests. We're glad you're here and do hope you feel welcome. If at any time you'd like to learn more about our church or give us the chance to know you better, you're welcome to fill out a Let's Get Acquainted card found in the seat rack in front of you. You can place it in the offering plate as it passes by later in worship, and of course, all are welcome to leave prayer requests this way. This time, I'd also encourage you to sign the fellowship pads. Those are scattered throughout the sanctuary. Please do sign and pass to your neighbor and greet any new faces by name during the peace or after worship. You can see on the inside cover of your bulletin a list of upcoming announcements and events in the life of our church. If you'd like them all in one handy place for the summer, we are producing special calendars as we get off of a regular routine. But you can see descriptions of events listed on the back. So we hope you'll take one of these home and put it on your fridge and find ways to stay connected with the mission and ministry of First Presbyterian Church during the coming months this way. I'd like to make one quick note on the bulletin before turning it over to you. Our closing hymn will be number 260 instead of 200. So please do make that note. You don't want to stand out in the hymn singing. Now I'd open it up to any of you who have announcements to stand and share with the church.
Good morning. Second Sunday lunch is next Sunday, contrary to the bulletin which says June 2nd, but it will be next Sunday, and so be sure and either call or email the church and make reservations. Thank you.
Thank you, Annelle.
I don't know if all of you have had the chance to read your Daily Citizen News this morning, but on the front page, the Daily Citizen has listed the winners, Daily Citizen winners of the Georgia Press Association Better Newspapers Contest, and our own Will Scott won a second place award for feature and lifestyle column writing for the column that is published every month. So, and this is not a column for guest preachers across the state of Georgia. This is all Georgia newspaper column writing, so that's very impressive. And Will, we know it was a second place award, but you know you're always number one with
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you, Pam. I've just never been flattered enough to think of what I do as lifestyle, so you learn something about yourself every day. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Kay.
If you like the flowers today, thank Laura Allgood.
Thank you, Kay. Good help is always appreciated.
I'm very pleased that our church has been asked to host a service by the hospice organization at the local hospital this afternoon. People who have lost loved ones will come here and to be part of a very meaningful service. I say that to say, as you leave today, take a look around where you're seated and be sure that the seat looks presentable for those folks who will come.
Thank you, Walter. Are there any others? Let us worship God together. Let us begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all.
Thank you.
Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
Please stand for the call to worship. God sent Christ into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God's love endures forever. God is our refuge and strength, a present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake at the heart of the sea. And let us pray. God of love, you are the wellspring of life. Pour into our hearts the living water of your grace, that we may be refreshed to worship this day in joy, confident of your presence and empowered by your peace. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May be seated. The proof of God's amazing love is this: while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God in confidence. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Almighty God, you have raised Jesus from death to life and crowned him Lord of all. We confess that we have not bowed before him or acknowledged his rule in our lives. We have gone along with the ways of the world and failed to follow where Jesus leads. Forgive us and raise us from sin, that we may be your faithful people, obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. Amen. Hear the good news. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed your sins from you. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for a time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. I'm holding something that should be familiar to you. What's this?
The rope.
It's the rope. What do we use this rope for? To keep together so we don't get lost in the church. Yeah, so we can go upstairs. Upstairs or the nursery. That's right. You can take your pick. So I want your help with something. I want each of you to take one of these rings. Can you take one? I'm going to spread it out, and let's not pull on it. We're going to do this all together. So we can stand up if that makes it a little bit easier. We are not going to play tug of war. All right. Does everyone have one? Perfect. You guys did a great job. So I know that we can play, but let's not play for a second. Let's hold and get together in one space. So we've all got a part of the rope. Okay, so we're all still. Now, Ellie, I want you to go over there next to Andrew, and we're going to make a big circle. All right, good job. Now you're really still. This is great. So it's not quite as much fun to do this as it is to run around the church and to wiggle, is it? It's kind of like we're trapped, right? So in a minute, we're going to tell the story about the Apostle Paul who we've been talked about. You know what happens to him? He gets trapped too. He gets stuck right in the middle of everything and he can't go anywhere. He gets put in jail. You know what that means? It's the place you don't want to be, right? So what do you think he does when he's in there?
Prays.
He prays, that's one thing. Do you think he's happy or he's sad to be there?
Sad.
I would think so too. That's a good sad face. But you know what he does? Even though he's sad, even though he's trapped and maybe not where he wants to be, he sings. Isn't that interesting? Why do you think he sings?
So when are we going to let go of this?
You're going to let go of that when you're upstairs, but we're going to sing first, okay?
We can do it like this and go this, like downstairs and upstairs.
Yeah. He sings. What do you think he sings? We're losing it here. What do you think Paul sings? What do you think he sings? What do we sing every time we walk out of the church together? Do you know?
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. Do you know the words to Jesus loves me?
Jesus
I know. Can you sing? For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You did a great job. Can we give a round of applause to all the people out there? They almost did as good a job as you did.
My mommy always sings that at bedtime.
Your mommy sings that at bedtime? That's nice. Okay, so what we're going to do in a little bit is we're going to walk up, and even though we are trapped, even though we are in a place maybe where someone else is leading us, you know what we can do no matter where we are, if we're in a good place or in a bad place? We can sing a song like that because we know. Even when your hands are trapped, we can sing because we know that God is with us. And that's why we sing every time you go upstairs, because whether we're here or whether we're there, no matter where we are, God is with us. And that makes us happy and makes us want to sing. So thank you for your help. Can we put our hands together? They don't necessarily need to be in the loops. And let's have a quick prayer. Dear God, thank you for being with us no matter where we are. Fill us with your joy that we might sing your praise. In Jesus' name, amen. So we dismiss our children to their time together in worship. Let us bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Loving God, you have made us that we cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Give us a hunger for your word, and in that food satisfy our longing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 17. Listen for God's word. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I and them and you and me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our next scripture reading this morning comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16. Through the season of Easter, we've been telling stories about the difference the risen Jesus makes in the lives of the disciples and the apostles, how Easter comes to life in their own story, as it does here with Paul, sealed in a place like a tomb. The walls cannot contain him. In the book of Acts, listen for God's word to you. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune-telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaimed to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hopes of making money were gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell, and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and all your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them, and he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, we worship, we sing, we listen, we pray, so that you will free us from all the things that hold us back from you and your love for us in Jesus Christ. Open us to your Spirit and unlock the doors of our hearts by your grace. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Paul is in prison, not for the first time nor for the last, but he doesn't seem particularly concerned about it. He and Silas are up late into the night singing hymns, and the other prisoners were listening to them. It makes me wonder what the other prisoners thought of their song. It's a strange thing to hear in a dark and fearful place. Maybe some of them just wanted them to be quiet so they could get some sleep. Or maybe there were some who wished that they could sing along too. The film Shawshank Redemption that came out years and years ago depicts the horror of prison life. But in one scene, the main character, an inmate named Andy, sees a record lying around in an office of a Mozart aria. He conspires to play it over the prison PA system. He locks himself in the warden's office and spins the record, flips the switch, and the sonorous notes emerge throughout the grounds from tinny speakers. All stop and listen for a minute. A pause in the violence and the brutality. Afterwards, once the office door is finally pried open, Andy is sent to solitary confinement, but he keeps a smile on his face. Andy's friend Red says that hope is a dangerous thing. It also makes Andy free. Some people seem to have an endless capacity for hope, even in desperate places. Maybe this has to do with temperament or constitution, but the story of Paul and Silas seems to suggest that real help is something more than tolerance to pain or disappointment. It comes from a deep place that does not go away. What kind of hope makes you sing in a prison cell? Where does it come from? I've mentioned the book Shantung Compound before. It's a memoir by the theologian Langdon Gilkey. It was written from a time when Gilkey was imprisoned by the Imperial Japanese Army in eastern China, along with other expatriate Westerners during World War II. Gilkey spent over 4 years in captivity, and his memoir explores the ways that individuals in the community survive. So in the book, Gilkey finds that camp life began according to a familiar hierarchy of social roles. It was governed by assertive businessmen and doctors and professionals who were used to positions of status and privilege in society as before. But then months and years passed and the idea of privilege fell away. And these kinds of jobs and leadership became less important as they were less tied to status. Where does hope, where does order even come from in a place like that? What Gilkey found was that it was the missionaries who kept the camp going, organizing medical care and activities for children and the distribution of food. Is there anything that's better preparation for thankless work than work in a church setting? You're laughing, you've been on a church committee. In this camp, monks became successful black marketers and smuggled food through the fence in the camp. When one was caught hiding eggs under his robe, the guards took the monk away to solitary confinement, and they were perplexed that he didn't seem too upset about it. The answer was, he's a monk, he's used to being alone. He gave hope to the entire camp as he sang on the way to his confinement. There's a senseless naivete and that kind of faith. It's the kind of faith that allows people to do brave things or foolish things, like preach the gospel in a strange land or sing in a prison cell. Through this season, we've been exploring the difference Easter makes in the lives of Jesus' disciples. Nowhere has this change been clearer than in the life of Paul. Paul, as we heard from his story some weeks ago, was a persecutor of the church, but became its most strident advocate as he met the risen Jesus in a vision on the Damascus Road. And since that time, Paul has had a mission: extend the knowledge of God's saving love as far as he can. It's the idea, it's the faith that animates his life. It allows him to surmount any difficulty, which is good because it's also the source of most of his difficulties. In today's story, Paul remains in Philippi preaching this new message to as many as will hear him. He shows up in a place of prayer, maybe the river mentioned in the story with Lydia last week. And he's interrupted by a slave girl who seems to have a special power. She's a fortune teller or a medium. She starts to follow Paul and Silas around. These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation. And after several days, this begins to annoy Paul. Go figure. He exorcises a demon. The girl falls silent. What happens next should be a familiar litany. Paul is arrested, stripped, charged, beaten, imprisoned. The story follows the footsteps of Jesus so closely, we might worry what's about to happen to him. He's thrown into the prison, into the deepest, darkest cell, his feet in the stocks. It's the worst possible place imaginable. He might as well be dead. So what happens next? It's what we heard. Paul and Silas start to sing, the last thing we might imagine. I think it's hard to put ourselves into Paul's shoes and think that we would be singing too. We might not understand that impulse. We all have our own challenges or our own dark places we've been to, and when you're in a place like that, the last thing you want to do is sing. It doesn't matter where you are, however you're trapped, however you're imprisoned by your reality. You're imprisoned by illness when your body no longer functions the way it once did or the way it should. If you're imprisoned by disappointment when the scope of your life seems smaller based on past hurts or missed opportunities. When you're imprisoned by anger or in a relationship that seems beyond saving. When you're imprisoned by fear in a world, in a country that seems rife with violence and injustice. You're imprisoned by depression when it doesn't seem like the sun can shine. When you're imprisoned by addiction or imprisoned by grief, imprisoned by all those things which will make you do anything but sing. How do you sing the Lord's song in a strange land? The Israelites once wondered. There are some things that seem beyond the power of positivity or human resiliency. Makes you wonder. What made Paul sing? Jason Green tells the story when his life was upturned by grief in the death of his young daughter in a new memoir called Once We Saw Stars. Green and his family lived in New York City, and it was there in a random horrific accident, a brick became dislodged from an 8th-story window and struck Green's 2-year-old daughter. Green recounts the immediate aftermath, driving to the hospital, the looks on the faces of the EMTs, the doctors who made it clear that recovery was unlikely. What follows is a story of raw emotion, of tears and rage, misguided attempts at comfort. When finally Green and his wife Stacy say goodbye to their child, Green recounts the feeling that this might just be a precursor to an even worse or further loss. Stepping into the hallway, he writes, I confess quietly to my brother that I am deeply worried I will lose Stacy too. This is the sort of blow, after all, that dissolves the strongest marriages. How do you sing in a place like that? Paul and Silas sing. They sing because they've had a glimpse of something. They know that despite the challenges, even the horror of their outward circumstances, that there is a kernel of hope in just that place because that's what the risen Jesus has done. Every terrible thing is seated with the possibility of God's grace. And so, just like the story of Easter, the earth shakes. The prison door is cast away like a stone rolled from a tomb. The guard is terrified. More than that, he is converted. He is close to death. He confronts his failures and decides to end his life. And Paul and Silas pull him back from the darkness. Because that's what Jesus does. That's what Easter means. Now that the point of the tomb is that it reveals the depths of God's grace, which emerges from just such places of death and darkness. Jason Green continues the story in the depths of his alienation from his family, from his life. He says, "When I walk back in, Stacy looks up from the bedside and smiles at me. There you are." She stands up and gives me a hug and a kiss. I go for another cafeteria run, getting coffee and snack orders from everyone gathered around. As I leave the room again, she says, "I love you." So I take the elevator down to the bottom floor. I have an impossible thought. We are going to be okay. We will survive this. We are about to enter the unimaginable, but we are going to pass through it. The thought lasts seconds. It's like a fish in a murky river, but I hold on to it. That kiss and that smile and that casual "I love you" saved me. It could be anything that saves you from death or darkness. A hand extended in kindness, a word of welcome, unlooked for sympathy. Paul and Silas, it was a revelation of the act of God who pulls us all from that darkness. For the jailer, it was the grace of faith shared by two people. For Jason Green, it was an "I love you" spoken from the depths of pain and chaos, a kernel of hope rising out of a dead ground, a light shining in the darkness. He quotes from Dante's Inferno, "To get back up to the shining world from there, my guide and I went through into that hidden tunnel. And following its path, we took no care to rest, but climbed, he first and I so far. Through a round aperture, I saw appear some of the beautiful things that heaven bears, where we came forth and once more saw the stars." A cry from darkness, from the depths of a prison cell. Jesus is raised, and so are we. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
In response to the Word of God, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. In gratitude and thanksgiving, let us return our gifts to God. You may be seated. The presence of God in this place, at this table, isn't a reward for the perfect. It's medicine for sinners. It's calling us from the depths of whatever darkness we are in into the light of God's grace and love. Jesus says, "Come all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Blessed are you, God, faithful and strong. All your works, the height and depth, echo the silent music of your praise. In the beginning, your word summoned light. Night withdrew and creation dawned. Then, as if ages had passed unseen, waters gathered on the face of the earth and life appeared. When at last the days had ripened and the earth was grown full in abundance, you created in your image man and woman, the stewards of all creation. You gave us breath and speech that all the living might find a voice to sing your praise and to celebrate the creation you made and called good. Oh, holy God, how wonderful is the work of your hands. Because sin rose up to leave a fault line even in the earth, you stepped forward to enter into a covenant of peace that can renew the whole creation. As a mother tenderly gathers her children, and as a father joyfully welcomes his own, you embraced a people as yours, filling them with a longing for peace that will last, a justice that will never fail. Through countless generations, your people hungered for the bread of freedom. From them you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered his life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Eternal God, let your Holy Spirit move in power over us and over these earthly gifts of bread and wine, that we may have communion in the body and blood of Christ, and that in him we may become one. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread. And after giving thanks to God, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." Drink of it, all of you. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness. In Jesus Christ, you shall be filled. We invite you to come forward as you feel called. have all been served. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your life in Jesus Christ that feeds us, that nourishes us, that encourages us in his Spirit to follow in his way, to offer grace to a hungry world. We pray that your Spirit would remain with us as we go from here, work through us, and graft us into the body of Christ, that we might share his life with others. We pray all these things in Christ's name, in the way he teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord is risen. It's still Easter. Let's try this again. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus Christ has ascended to the right hand of God, intercedes for us always. And Jesus Christ is with us no matter where we go. So in the depth of darkness, know that Jesus is raised and you are raised with him too. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.